الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama, respected brothers, elders, my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His sheer grace and mercy, has given us this blessing of Iman and Islam, which is undoubtedly and indisputably the most comprehensive way of life. Islam is such a religion which is free from all kinds of extremes. There is no right extreme, there is no left extreme. There is no ifrat, there is no tafreet. There is no ghulu, there is no taqseer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this religion which is free from all kinds of extremism. There is no extremism in this prestigious religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. This is why the highlighted quality of Islam, which is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, is that this religion has been created in a moderate way. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created you as a moderate ummah. It does not only command us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night and forsake and forget everything else around you. It does not only say that you only devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not pay attention to anything else whatsoever. This is why we are not only commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and earn for oneself, for one's family, for the people who are under him. Rather, this action has been regarded as something extremely rewardable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, "Man sa'a ala ayalihi fa fi sabilillahi." Allahu Akbar, what a great, great virtue mentioned in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those who earn for their families. Man sa'a ala iyalihi, those people who go and earn for their family members, fafi sabilillahi, that person is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to go and earn for your family is is very consistent with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that not only it is preferable and it is something which is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps a person will be rewarded if he goes with the correct intention. But the key is that whatever he goes and earns, it has to be halal. Halal is key. This is of utmost importance, and it is of utmost paramount that a person, whatever he earns, he earns halal. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that to earn halal is faridah, it is an obligation, it is a compulsory action after other primary obligations, meaning performing salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan. The person who is eligible to discharge zakat, to give zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you are capable of going for hajj and pilgrimage, to go for hajj and perform your pilgrimage, these things are considered primary obligations. After these primary obligations, there is an obligation which is called kasbul halal. Kasbul halal, to earn halal. Because if a person goes and earns for himself, for his family members, but he does not care whether this is halal or haram or not, then this can become a means of a person's punishment in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, when people will be resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the questions asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in regards to a person's wealth, meaning where did he earn this wealth and where did he spend it. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس. On the day of judgment, the feet of Ibn Adam will not move from its place until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him five questions, and he does not answer these five questions. And the two questions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions out of these five questions are, an malihi min ayna iktasabahu wa fi man faqahu, that he will be questioned with regards to his wealth, with regards to his money, with regards to his income, that where did he earn this money from and where did he spend it. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in Mirqat that he will be asked that where did he earn this money and where did he spend this money. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referring to min al halal am min al haram. He is referring to this question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him on the day of judgment, that, O my believer, I created you, I brought you up, I nourished you, I cherished you when you grew up and you had strength and energy to earn money. Did you comply to my commandments or not? Did you earn your money through halal sources or not? Or did you not worry and had any concern for halal and haram? And this is one of the signs of the day of judgment, that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted this hadith, that يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ, that a time will come upon the people before the day of judgment that people will not care where they are earning their money from. لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ, is it coming from halal or not? Is it not that my income is haram? Is it not that I'm consuming this item which is in front of me? Is it halal or not? Or is it haram? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a lot of emphasis in the Quran over and over again. And he says to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eat from those things which are tayyibat, which are pure. The muhaddithin and mufassirin mentioned that tayyibat refers to that which is halal, something which is acquired through halal sources, and also the item which has been purchased is also halal. You should eat that. And muhaddithin mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is putting emphasis over emphasis, because this is the hukam and order and command given to the highest level of servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the galaxy of Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands these Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha, that O rusul, O those people who have been sent by me, eat that which is halal, eat that which is halal, eat that which is halal. If you want to become something in your life, if you want to become something in the spiritual life, in spirituality, if you want to become pious, if you want to become righteous, if you want to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the desire to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you aspire to become a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you wish to inculcate the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, then we need to see that whatever we are earning, is it halal or not? And whatever we are consuming, is it halal or not? If we are careful, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us to these heights and see that where you are earning from. Eat only that which is halal and abstain from that which is haram. In English, the saying goes, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Whatever you eat, this is the kind of effect this is going to have on your body. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tusturi rahimahullahu ta'ala, great pious saint from the past, used to say, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted this in Ihya Ulumuddin, Man akala haraman, asad jawarihuhu sha'am aba, alima am lam ya'lam, that person who eats haram, That person who eats haram, his body parts become disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he wishes or not, whether he is aware of it or not. وَمَنْ أَكَلَ حَلَالًا. And on the contrary, if the person does ihtimam, and the person, he gives a lot of attention to halal, and he eats only that which is halal, أَطَاعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ وَوُفِّقَ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ, then all his body parts are indulged in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is granted tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out good actions. To carry out good actions, this is an immediate effect of whatever you eat. You eat halal, your inclination will be towards good. And if you eat haram, your inclination will be towards sin, towards the vice, towards the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people, they don't pay attention towards this, that whatever they have, is it halal or not? Or is it coming from haram sources? The food that I am consuming, is it halal or not? The drink that I am drinking, I am consuming, is it haram or halal? Many people don't pay attention to this. But those people, those individuals who are vigilant and who do pay attention to this fact that whatever I am consuming, is it halal or not, their focus is, majority of the times, is restricted to those things which can be consumed. Consumable items. They only look at the ingredients of the items. That is this halal or not? Is this halal or not? Is the biscuit that I'm about to eat, is this halal or not? The yogurt I'm about to eat, is this halal or not? I'm about to buy this coffee or this beverage from so-and-so place, is this halal or not? I'm about to buy this bread, is this halal or not? I'm going to a restaurant, is this restaurant halal or not? This is also commendable. But this focus and this attention, this fikr and concern of halal and haram should not be restricted to only those things which can be consumed. We should look at halal and haram in every aspect of our lives. We should look at our income as well, that the source where I am acquiring my money from, is this halal for me or not? I'm going to eat at so-and-so person's house, that person's income is halal or not? I'm going to so-and-so wedding, and they are calling people for da'wah to eat their food. Is their income halal or not? Somebody came and gave you hadiah, someone came and gave you gift. See that, is their income halal or not? I'm not teaching you to go and investigate each person's life very, very deeply, that what is he doing in his life. But to a certain extent, a person should know. If by chance, if a person happens to find out that this person's income is fully not permissible, it's coming from haram sources, then he should think twice before eating that person's food or before going to his house and consuming anything. But you should go and consult the ulama with regards to this, because many relatives, they call you for da'wat, and sometimes they have a right upon you that you go and accept their da'wat and you go at eat at their house. So go and consult the ulama, muftiyana kiram, and those people who are learned, those people who know Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people who have ilm, and with ilm coupled with ilm and knowledge, they also have wisdom and hikmat as well. Go and consult with those people and they will be able to guide you. And we need to also see that if I am doing a business, that is my business according to Sharia law or not? I am about to sell my property, I'm about to sell my house, I am selling this land of mine which is back home, and the transaction I'm doing with the opposite party, is it according to Sharia law or not? Is this permissible for me to do a transaction in this way or not? Is it not that my bay' and my transaction is fasid? Is it not that this bay' and transaction is batil? We need to go and talk to the expert. If you are putting deposit, is this permissible or not? If you're taking deposit from someone and the person is not able to pay the money and amount at its appointed time, are you allowed to keep this deposit or not? If you are going through any other transaction, you're going to buy a car, finance a car, you're going to finance a house, or you are taking a line of credit from the bank, you are doing anything, You are doing anything. You're putting your money in your mutual fund, or you're investing money in shares, in stock market, in forex exchange, and you are about to embark on any business transaction, then go and consult the ulama, the muftiyani kiram, and inshallah they will be able to guide you. Because we need to remember one thing, my brothers and elders, many times we do transaction. The reason why I'm saying this is because recently I have come across few transactions. Alhamdulillah, there are few individuals in the community who are extremely concerned when it comes to their transaction. This is why they came to me and asked me about few things, so I thought I should speak on this topic. And they told me that a lot of people, they do not inquire, and we have a business culture, and we tend to deal with other people according to that business culture. My brothers, the business culture is different, the culture of Sharia is different. When it comes to business, we need to do it according to Sharia law. We need to do it according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the teachings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the way taught to us, shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then only we will have this barakah, which is mentioned in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we need to be careful, not only when it comes to food and drink, but every single thing, where you're money is coming from, where you are spending your money, and whatever you are consuming, is it halal or is it haram? Every single thing, whatever is coming to your house, every penny, every morsel, every sip, every cloth that is coming to your house, is it halal or not? Is it halal or not? Think, ponder. Because halal will have barakah and haram will not have any barakah. Halal will have this barakah, that your inclination, you will be will be towards good, and you will be granted tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the nahusat and the evil effect of haram will be that tawfiq will be taken away from you, and you will no longer feel that zeal and passion to carry out good actions, and there will be no passion to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we see many people, they are sitting in the masjid. They are sitting in the masjid, the whole masjid is reciting Quran. But such unfortunate individuals are also sitting in the masjid, that despite being in such a blessed environment, they do not get the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open Quran and recite Quran. They don't get tawfiq to recite Quran. Even in this blessed gathering and in this blessed environment, these people are indulged in talking about things of matters of dunya. And they are indulged in slandering other people. They are indulged in backbiting other people. They are indulged in watching filthy things in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When other people are worshipping Allah. When other people are worshipping Allah. The realization of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining and refraining from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away from the person's heart. He is sitting in the gathering of dhikr, and everybody is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their tongues are moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are such fortunate individuals who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongues and with their hearts. And there are some people who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongues. And these unfortunate individuals are sitting in the midst of these dhakirin. This should make their hearts dhakir as well. Instead, because of the evil effect of haram, their hearts do not become dhakir. They still remain ghafil, as they were ghafil before this gathering of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, a great principal from Darulun Deoban, he used to say that the person in whose stomach there is haram, or the person upon whose body there is haram cloth, then this person's tawfiq of carrying out good action is taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His inclination will be towards vice. His inclination will be towards sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pious individuals who have worked hard upon their hearts and who have gone through the process of tazkiyah and purification of the heart, they can actually feel and sense the effect of halal and haram. Whenever they would eat halal, they can see special barakah and their inclination towards coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases even more. Their ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases even more. And the doors of ulum and hikam and the doors of knowledge and wisdom opens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such individuals, they can feel it. But unfortunately, because our hearts are filled with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is engulfed with the darkness of sins, this is why we are not able to understand, we're not able to feel, we're not able to sense this effect of halal and haram. There are many, many stories of our pious predecessors, how they used to feel the effect of halal and how they used to feel the effect of haram. And not only haram, something which was mashkuk, something which was doubtful, they could even feel the evil effect of that doubtful doubtful morsel as well. There are so many stories mentioned in the lives of our pious predecessors and also in the life of our companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and how careful they were in terms of halal and haram. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, an eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We all know the maqam and the status of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We hear and we read over and over again about the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and what status he holds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama write that after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, the highest rank that is given to any individual from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Why did he gain? Because he had some special qualities in his life. One of them was that he would always abstain from haram, and he would always eat only that which is halal, and he would only earn that which is halal. Once his slave brought something from somewhere and he presented in front of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had not eaten anything for the past 3 days. He was extremely hungry, so he ate from this food that was brought by his slave. After he consumed this, usually his practice was, before he consumed something, he would ask that where did this food come from. And this time, because he was extremely hungry, he did not ask before he consumed this food. After he completes this food, he asked this slave of his that, where did this food come from? The slave says to him that in the time of Jahiliyyah, when I was not your slave, I was a fortune teller and I was a psychic. I used to tell people about their future. And it so happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one of my statement truth, and I told someone something many years ago that this will happen in your life. Today, when I went to that person's house, he said to me that you told me that this will happen to me in my life. So today we see this happening in front of us. So this is a gift from us. So this food was a gift in return of that information which I gave them many years ago. Now in our Sharia, this is impermissible. It is haram to go to a fortune teller. It is haram to go to a psychic. And the earning of a psychic is also haram. It's not permissible. Now the gift that is given to this slave is also haram. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu unknowingly consumed this. Now the stomach was so empty, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu started putting his finger in his mouth to vomit everything out. But due to his emptiness of the stomach, nothing was coming out. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, look at the concern these people had for their akhirah. Look at the connection they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how they were drowned in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how passionate they were in practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were ready to compromise anything, my brothers. This is why they got this high rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to his slave that, go and fetch water for me. And the slave goes, he brings water. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu drinks this glass of water, and then And then he places his fingers in his mouth again to vomit everything out, because of the water, all the food will come out, on the upper portion of the stomach, and it'll be easy for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to vomit everything out. This is what he did, and he took everything out. And when people asked him, the people around him, when they saw Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, doing this, they said to Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that why are you doing this, O Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to these people, this is such a statement, my brothers, we need to write this statement on our hearts. Our hearts very clearly and boldly write this upon our, we need to write this upon our hearts, that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to the people around him, that I have heard my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that kullu lahmin nabata min haramin fannaru awla bihi, that every flesh that grows through haram, the fire of Jahannam is more worthy for such flesh and such body and such meat. So this is why I'm doing this. The person who eats halal, he will be granted tawfiq to carry out good actions. And the person who eats haram, he will not be able to carry out good actions. His inclination will decrease. He won't be able to carry it out. And if by chance he does carry out a good action, then it is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, "Man ishtara thawban bi asharati darahim." If a person was to buy a cloth for 10 dirhams, وَفِيهِ dirhamun haram, and within these 10 dirham, 1 dirham is haram. لَمْ يَقْبَلِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى صَلَاتَهُ مَا دَامَ عَلَيْهِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept his salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept his devotions as long as this cloth remains upon his body. As long as this cloth remains upon his body. And only 1 dirham, only 10% of the money which is spent in buying this cloth was haram. This is the effect of 10% of haram. Can you imagine the effect of that money, which is 100% haram, or majority of the money is haram? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in another hadith, mentioned by Abu Mansur Daylami rahimahullahu ta'ala in Musnad al-Firdaus, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, "Man akala luqmatan min haramin lam tuqbal minhu salatu 40 laylatan." That person who consumes one morsel of haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept his salah for 40 days. Allah will not accept his salah for 40 days. His good actions will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that his sadaqah is also not accepted, because inna Allah tayyib la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and Allah accepts only that is pure. And Allah only accepts that is pure. Vast majority of the time, the person who earns haram will not get the ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend in the path of Allah. He will not get tawfiq from Allah to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be many opportunities in front of him to gain his akhirah. And he will know that this is an opportunity for me to build my akhirah. This is an opportunity for me to reserve my place in Jannah. This is an opportunity for me to build a palace in Jannah. But despite that, his inclination will not go towards spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not think of akhirah, he will only think of this dunya. And he will think that if I keep spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my wealth will decrease. This is what he will think. And if by chance he does spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this money will not go in the right place. This money will go in the wrong place. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned an amazing story in Mirqat, that there was a very, very pious person who used to earn with his own hands, and he used to earn for his family, for himself, and he used to distribute his wealth in three portions. My brothers, this is a very, very liked action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person earns with his own hands. We should not depend on other people to earn with our own hands. Go and work. Don't sit at home and only rely on the government benefit. Go and earn money. And if you are worthy and eligible to taking any benefit from the government, there is no harm. But one should go and earn money with his own mahnat, and one should exert effort and energy in acquiring money. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has praised Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. And every single Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to earn with their own hands. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked that, O Prophet of Allah, you go and graze these goats? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that yes, every single Nabi that came to this world had goats and they graze goats, because this brings tawadu, this brings a lot of humbleness in a person's heart. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to go and graze goats. And he praises Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, that kana Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam la ya'kulu illa min amali yadihi. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam would do something with their own hands. Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam used to make armors and sell it. And then whatever he would earn, this is what he used to feed his family. This pious person, he also used to earn with his own hands. He used to distribute his wealth into three portions. One for himself and his family. And number two, for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah. And one portion, he would invest that into his farming and his business. So three portions. A person, a businessman came to him and said to him that, the way you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would also like to spend. But many times, I don't feel like spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pious person said to him that, check if your earning is halal or not. And if it's halal, then your inclination will be towards spending in the path of Allah. And if it's haram, then you will not spend in the path of Allah. And if it is haram, then it's not going to go to the right place. And if you want to see, this person didn't understand what the pious person was saying. So he said to the person that, go, leave this house, and the first person you see, give this money to that person. He goes and he gives this money to a person who is extremely in need. And he had ripped clothes, and he had disheveled hair, and he looked like a pauper. So he gives this money to the person, and then he comes back to the pious person very happily that, alhamdulillah, I found a person who was in much need, and I gave it to him. The pious person, he gave du'as, but the next day, the person who spent money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the same individual, the person who had disheveled hair and ripped clothes and everything. He was talking to somebody else and making a joke out of the person spending the previous day, that yesterday I made my appearance like a pauper, and there was a person who was so foolish, he came and gave me a big amount of his money. This person, he went to the pious person and he said to him that, this is what happened. The pious person said to him that, go, leave this house, and the first person you see, give this money. He, meaning the pious person, gave his own money this time, the second time. And he said to the businessman that, leave this house and give this money to the first person you see. The person leaves the house and he gives this money to a person who was wearing good clothes. And he did not look like a poor person, the person who is in need. So the person gives the money to him, and then what he sees is that the person goes slowly into jungle, and he throws a dead animal from his back. So the person who spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows him to see that why did he throw this dead bird that he had in his back. So he goes and he follows him up to his house. And he goes inside his house and he asks him that, what happened? How come you had a dead animal in your bag, a dead bird in your bag? The person said to him that, this is my house, and the people who live in my house, we were hungry for the past 3 days, and we had reached that state that now it was permissible for us to consume even haram food, because I did not feel like asking anyone for money. So this is why I went outside to look for anything that we can eat, even if it is haram. So this is why I was going to bring this dead bird that I'll bring this bird home and we'll cook it and we'll eat as a family. This is what I had, but then when you gave me this money, now the bird was not permissible for me to eat. This is what I threw in the jungle. The person started to cry and he came to the pious person and he said that I understood your explanation now that if the money comes from halal sources, it goes to the right place. And if the money comes from haram sources, then it goes to the wrong place. And a person, my brothers, one of the good actions is dua. A person's dua is not accepted if one consumes haram. And if a person always eats halal, then he becomes mustajab al-da'wat. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, another companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was mustajab al-da'wat. Mustajab al-da'wat is that person whose dua is never rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every sahabi was mustajab al-da'wat. But some companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum had some distinguishing qualities within them. And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's highlighted quality was, the predominant quality of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas was, that he was mustajabu da'wat. His dua would never ever be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he would lift his hands up and seize anything with his tongue, he would reach directly right to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why? Because he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once that, O Prophet of Allah, how can I become mustajabu da'wat? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, O Sa'ad, ya Sa'ad, atib mat'amak takun mustajabu da'wat. Eat that which is halal and you will become mustajab ud-da'wat. There are many, many other stories, and this plays a big, big part in our children's tarbiyat as well. Many times our children, they become disobedient to us and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because the food that we have given them was not halal. It was haram. It was haram. This is why they are disobedient to you. This is why they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we eat only that is halal, then we will see that Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, that the likes of Abdullah ibn Mubarak will born in this world. The likes of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani will born. The likes of Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala will be born. And the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala will be born in this world. Their fathers, their mothers, they were so cognizant of the fact that the money that is coming to our house, is it from halal or is it from haram? Let us go with this firm resolution today. Male men and male folk, they try their utmost to earn only that is halal. Their income has to be halal. The women folk should make sure that whatever comes to your house, it should only be halal. Say to your husband that, please bring only that is halal. We don't need so much money. We will suffice on bare minimum. But please bring only that which is halal for us. Because whatever we eat, this is the effect on our spiritual life will be according to that. And if we have to eat simple food, if we have to wear simple things, if we have to live a simple life, it's okay. It's okay. And as the saying goes in Urdu, that the halal ki dal behtar hai haram ki murghi se. That if you get simple food like dal, but it's coming from halal source, this is good and this will suffice, inshallah. We don't need expensive food, expensive clothing, expensive life and luxurious lifestyle. We should all make this firm resolution that we will only consume that is halal, and we will also be vigilant of the fact that the income that is coming to our house, that's also halal. We will not get any grant which does not belong to us. We will not ask other people for money, and we will not make excuses, and we will not show that I am in need and take money from 10, 15, 20 different people. Because this money that is coming to us from wrong sources, it is haram, and this will have a negative impact upon your spirituality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon